May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always pleasing in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. There's a scientist in God. And the scientist decides to challenge God to a contest of who can make the better human being. God says, we're on. At which time the scientist, in great delight, bends over to pick up some dust to start making his human being. Then God says, no, no, no. You got to go out and find your own dust. It was bad, I know. But the point is really good, which is to say that God is our creator. That God created everything. The dust, the hairs on our head, the beautiful scenery of a fall Sunday in Fincastle. And this powerful and incredible reality is something that we give thanks for. It's the incredible work of the altar guild to decorate the parish, the sanctuary, with this cornucopia of fruit, the readings that we gave, that we hear from Paul and the gospel, and that beautiful psalm that we read together. These are things of thanksgiving. After all, it is the week of Thanksgiving. And today also, for those churchy, this is a little church nerd section, today's also what's called Christ the King Sunday. So we're celebrating sort of the Thanksgiving, because we love these hymns and the readings, but it's also the last Sunday of the liturgical year. When we gather next Sunday, we'll begin Advent on our way towards Christmas. And Christ the King Sunday, what it does, it's designed to celebrate what that terrible joke illustrated. The idea that Christ is the Lord over all. That he is the sovereign over all of creation. He's both the creator and the king. And the feast originated in 1925, sort of in a post-World War I world, as the world was moving away from Christendom. And Lord, that's only continued over the last 100 years, but it's a gentle reminder that all is God's. Everything is God's. Or as we say in the offertory sometimes, for all things come from thee, and from thine own have we given thee. Now, in some ways, it's easy to see God in these big sweeping narratives, I think. It's appropriate, but I think it's also easy to sort of just look at the beautiful blue sky, or the drive out here in Tinker Mountain, or the snow, or the sunrise. It's easy to see God in that part of the world, in that creation. But it's not the whole story of the king. It's not the whole story of the king. Because the king also has a direct impact on your life. It's not just this abstract creator. When we talk about Jesus as the King, we give thanks for the Lord. We're talking about a provider, a comforter, a ruler who is involved in our day-to-day life. Jesus is this person. He is the Lord over us as individuals. He is both this wonderful creator, and he's also a savior, in other words. And we are the people that he came to save. It's not just the provision of the world, in other words, but he's the person that provides and gives you everything in your life, real time. And then we forget this, though, right? This is where we sometimes just map onto God this big overarching narrative, which isn't untrue or wrong, but we forget that Jesus is in our lives, that he gives himself to us. And it's a human instinct. Because listen to what the disciples are talking to Jesus about today. That's why Jesus has to say, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." Such an important distinction. It's not through humankind that we're saved, but it's through Jesus Christ that we're saved and made whole. It is God, in other words, that provides for us. We sometimes forget that, don't we? We're sometimes so quick to sort of fill in Moses or something else in our lives, especially when things are going well. We insert ourselves and say, "I did it." Did you? How'd that work out? The best part about that book, it was written by Desmond Tutu, that I read to the kids, is where he says, like, this is God's dream to share, care, and love. But we don't always do that, right? That there's this moments of disruption, of pain and suffering. And this is precisely why, when we think about God, we think about our Savior, our provision comes at precisely our worst time. The time when we don't think about Jesus, when we're totally adrift and lost, it's when the majesty and the beauty of our Lord shows up. It's the power of the gospel, is that in our worst moment, the beautiful love of Jesus overflows into our hearts. It's where we see the most counterintuitive part of the gospel. Just think about those own moments in your life that you've had to deal with. Pain or suffering or loss. And then think about where God was. Maybe you had a conversion moment in those moments of your life. Maybe you felt the presence of our Lord, of the real kingship of Jesus. Maybe you give thanks for that every Thanksgiving that this happened. Maybe you're still in an awful moment and you're more like, "Where are you, Lord? Show up. Give me a hug. Give me that love." Matthew Perry, a.k.a., remember, Chandler from Friends? Some of you remember Friends? There we go. We're getting some head nods now. So Matthew Perry gave an incredible testimony to God. I don't know if anybody's followed his saga and his ordeal with being in the grips of addictions. Just give you some of the stats. Over the last 2 decades, he's been in rehab 14 times. He's had 60 professional sort of hospitalization detoxes. He's had 15 stomach surgeries from the amount of pills that he was taking. It's stats that just bewilder you, right? Like, how's the man still alive, basically? And he wrote this book entitled Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. And it's an incredible book, and his interviews are really incredible. I'm just going to read a little snippet of it as a way to tell you a story of God's love for each of us. Perry says, "I just hated myself. I was hitting yet another bottom. I frantically began to pray with the desperation of a drowning man. The last time I'd prayed like this, right before I'd gotten on Friends, I'd managed to strike a Faustian bargain with God." How many of us have tried to strike a bargain with God? "Just get us out of this moment, and I'll stop doing that." Lasts about a week, maybe, or maybe a month. Sort of like those New Year's resolutions. And so, not that they're not good, but they just don't really work. But here's what does work. Matthew says, "I finally just asked God for help. God, please help me," I whispered. "Show me that you're here. God, please help me." Perry says, "As I prayed, the little wave in the air transformed into a small golden light. As I kneeled, the light slowly began to get bigger and bigger until it was so big that it encompassed the entire room. It was like I was standing on the sun. I had stepped on the surface of the sun. What was happening? Why was I starting to feel better? And why was I not terrified? The light engendered a feeling more perfect than the most perfect quantity of drugs I'd ever taken. Feeling euphoric now. I did get scared and tried to shake it off, but there was no shaking this off. It was way bigger than me. My only choice was to surrender to it, which was not hard because it felt so good. The euphoria had begun at the top of my head and slowly seeped down throughout my entire body. I must have sat there for 5, 6, 7 minutes filled with this love. My blood hadn't been replaced with warm honey. My body was warm honey. If you want a perfect illustration of what St. Paul is talking about the peace that passes all understanding, that's it. Perry continues, and for the first time in my life, I was in the presence of love, peace, and acceptance, and filled with an overwhelming feeling that everything was going to be okay. I knew that my prayer had been answered. I was in the presence of God. Bill Wilson, who created AA, was saved by a lightning bolt through the window experience where he felt he was meeting God. And this was my experience. And I started to cry because I'd been in the presence of God. I was certain of it. And I just prayed one prayer over and over again, help. Eventually, Perry writes, the weeping subsided, but everything was different. I could see color differently. Angles were of a different magnitude, and the walls were stronger, the ceiling higher, the trees tapping on the windows more perfect than ever. Their roots connected via the soil to the planet and back into me. One great connection by an ever-loving God. Holy smokes. Who would have thought that Chandler, the sarcastic character on Friends, would be bringing us the gospel? Boom. Thank God for Matthew Perry and his witness. Thank God for God saving him in that dark night and saving each of us. Now, our bottoms might not be as dramatic as Matthew's. Sure hope they're not. They might be worse, too. They might be more dramatic or less. But the thread of that bread, that idea that everything from the roots are connected through the soil and the planet back to us, is Jesus saving each one of us and then grafting us back into a body, back into a family, back into God's family. And this is what God gives us. And it stretches from the beautiful Blue Ridge to the very pain and suffering that each of us experience in this life. It's the connection of God's kingship, in other words. It's the gospel. It's why we sing these words at the end today in Bland Tucker's great, great hymn. Let every tongue confess with one accord in heaven and earth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God the Father be by all adored. Alleluia. Amen.